This is Michael Johnson, and we're here for another in our series of podcasts with F5 Networks. And on the line with me again today is Joe Hicks, who's the product manager for web acceleration at F5 Networks. Joe, welcome back to the podcast.
Hello there, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing good. Now, we've been talking a lot about, you know, the idea of moving data around on the web. So, Joe, I want to wrap my mind around this concept of server offload. We've been talking a lot about, you know, accelerating these applications. Tell me a little bit about what server offload is.
Right. So, managing servers, the number of servers, and the licenses and the costs associated with that, whether it be power or rack space or data center capabilities, requires a lot of money and time. So you want to do everything possible to be able to reduce the load on those servers and let the servers do the unique and critical business functionalities that they were designed to serve. So anything you can do to offload the servers, both to reduce the number of servers and number of licenses and the associated data center costs that go with it, is a good thing. Gartner says, let the servers serve.
So why is that important? I mean, we've talked a little bit about a couple of those factors. Tell me a little bit more.
Well, we found over the years that people wanted to be able to offload SSL from their servers. It turns out that the SSL compute functionalities were assisted and aided by specific hardware that was better to process the SSL key exchanges, etc. So that same concept extends beyond SSL acceleration or SSL offload to being able to offload functions such as compression or caching, and also offload some of the TCP setup and other types of capabilities. So from that standpoint, there's a number of technologies as part of the server offload functionality that greatly reduces the load on servers and allows them to do what they were best set to do, which is serve unique content and business functionality.
So if a server gets busy or overloaded, I imagine that it affects applications.
That's right. It turns out that the cost oftentimes of running the applications is tied to the number of CPUs or the number of machines. And if you're able to reduce the number of machines needed to serve content, then you, of course, save money and, of course, improve the delivery of your application.
So I know a lot of organizations are consolidating data centers and applications as they're, you know, moving to outsourcing, this types of things. What are some of the factors that are kind of driving this trend right now?
Well, there's a number of factors that are affecting consolidation of data centers and servers. The first and most important is regulations. So Sarbanes-Oxley and HIPAA are requiring better control over the data. So people that manage servers, IT managers, application architects, are bringing the servers into one or two data centers in a central location so that they can better manage these servers. Another factor is energy costs. With the rising price of oil, you know, the cost of producing or consuming energy is far more. Cooling costs, data center space, all of these things are additional costs that affect the operation of it, but also the acquisition costs, so the cost of licenses, the cost of managing a number of different servers, whether it be the operational headcount necessary to be able to look after the servers or install them, or even the cost of acquiring the servers. So there's a number of factors that are causing people to want to consolidate their applications, whether it be mergers and acquisitions or energy costs.
So we've established why server offload is a good thing. How does it actually work, though? What are the underlying technologies there?
Well, some of the underlying technologies are caching, compression, TCP connection handling. These technologies, such as, for example, caching, makes it so that commonly served objects are served from cache. Now, there's oftentimes this concept that caching is not appropriate for dynamic objects. For compression, it's oftentimes better to have a dedicated hardware, ASIC, be able to do the compression for you. Because on the servers, it takes a lot of CPU cycles. When you can do it in hardware, you make it so that you only have to go and compress the content once. You can then serve it cached and compressed. And you don't have to use the server's CPU utilization to be able to recompress over and over. The TCP offloads allow you to remove the need to do the connection handling, the TCP handshakes, the always sitting there waiting for clients to send their acknowledgments, whereby you can offload that to a better network device. That in itself will allow for less server utilization.
So does that utilization and implementing those technologies have any effect on what the server's actual capacity is?
They do. So it turns out that that offloading this type of content and offloading the compression can oftentimes reduce server utilization by 80 to 90%. I know that seems a bit high, but we found that once you can truly identify what content is dynamic and what content is static, or what content is deterministically static, then you can absolutely be able to offload the servers. We like to say, you know, you can put your servers to sleep, but instead of letting them sleep, you can phase them out or use them for new applications.
Can you define those terms again, those static and dynamic content, and what's the difference, and how what we were talking about before, the caching technology, fits into that picture?
Sure. Years ago, caching was considered very, very valuable, and lots of people deployed it for these types of reverse proxy cache scenarios or for offloading the servers. But as content became more dynamic or more seemingly dynamic, it appears that, that caching wasn't so valuable. So if we take the example of a bank website, when bank websites first came around, they served up marketing information, maybe a form to download that you could print out and apply for a loan. These days, the sites are obviously more dynamic. You log in, and content is tied to your credentials or to your particular instance, your information. But to be honest, it seems like that content is more dynamic, but it's not truly, because that logo for the bank is served up on every page, and it's served up every single time. That logo, for example, is static content, but it's considered deterministically static because it's static for you and for your session. So from that standpoint, there's no reason to reserve that object to you over and over again, yet because of the nature of web applications and how they're built, you're constantly reserving that data. So really, I like to classify content into three main areas. One is truly static content. The second is this deterministically static content. So the next time you look at your online banking application, take a look and see how many objects are truly changing between each particular page load or even between different users. Typically, it turns out that there's only one truly dynamic object on those pages, and that truly dynamic object is your bank balance or your transaction log. So from that standpoint, why serve all of the content that truly is deterministically static as dynamic? Why serve it over and over again? And now, those are the differences.
Yeah, I think I've seen what you're talking about in when I've gone to pages, you know, between, you know, different things at the same site. And I think I'm beginning to figure out who's serving up what now, you know, who's serving up the whole page and what's remaining with me there.
So absolutely. So the download of this content over and over again, this is the thing that kills the application performance. This is the thing that really makes the user experience very, very slow.
So on the other end of it, you know, from the server end there, how is a business going to know whether they need to use the server offload technology versus kind of like, you know, more servers or just more server capacity? Can we talk about the difference between those two?
Well, absolutely. There's a number of cases where the cost of server management is skyrocketing. People have management systems in place to be able to try to grab hold of the costs. But there's a certain return on investment that's gotten from offloading the servers and offloading the capabilities. F5 Web Accelerator has the ability to offload compression and caching and this TCP setup and teardown such that your overburdened servers and that are trying to serve up these applications can be completely relieved of the burden of serving the same content or repetitive content and can get back to serving, again, those business functions and the unique content. So if you take a look at your servers and they're constantly sort of maxed and you need to find out a strategy to stop having to rebuy more and more servers to be able to support an application, then you should consider technologies such as F5's Web Accelerator.
Okay. We've been mentioning caching throughout this. Now, I know the caching, you know, the concept came up quite a while ago, but, you know, is it back in style? I mean, I'm starting to hear its name mentioned more and more, and isn't the use of that going to make it kind of, you know, susceptible to some of the issues that, you know, cause caching to kind of be unpopular?
The thing that killed the caching before was this idea that everything's being served as dynamic, such that they can no longer be cached. But if you can absolutely, positively identify objects that are static or deterministically static, then you have the ability to do both caching in the data center, in front of the servers, as well as in the browser cache again for that user so they don't have to re-download the same object over and over again. The technology that F5 Web Accelerator employs is Universal Content Identification, a UCI. We've gotten a white paper that we wrote about that explains how dynamic caching works. And there's a number of different elements that determine whether some content is unique or not. I recommend that you take a look at the white paper, the dynamic caching white paper, to be able to understand more about how UCI works and how we can be able to identify what's truly dynamic and what's deterministically static content.
So it just sounds like an old technology that just got smarter, yeah?
Absolutely.
All right. Joe Hicks is the product manager for web acceleration at F5 Networks. Joe, as always, great talking with you. It's been a great learning experience, and looking forward to the next time we talk.
Thanks, Michael. It's been a great time as well.